Thank you so much for being here today, especially if you're visiting with us. We thank God for your presence, and we thank you for choosing to come and be with us this morning. As it has been said, if this is your first time, we would encourage you to fill out a visitor's card. They'll be asked for in a later part of our service. We have a good crowd this morning, and I'm certainly grateful to see all of you present this day. Of course, all of us who are the family here at Northwest, God expects us to be here, and we're grateful that you're here. And I hope and trust that this year will be a year that we will be faithful to our Lord in all of the services that we have here. 1 Peter chapter 3, 272 has been selected as our song of invitation this morning, and we encourage you, if you haven't marked your books at that space, to do so already, so that you'll be ready to sing when we get to that part in our service. That will be the song of invitation. The title of that song is I Have Decided to Follow Jesus. 1 Peter chapter 3, verses 8 through 12 were read in our hearing. I'd just like to go back and reread a couple of those verses as we begin our lesson for today. In verse number 10, the Bible says, "For he that will love life and see good days, let him refrain his tongue from evil and his lips that they speak no guile. Let him eschew evil, do good, let him seek peace and ensure it. For the eyes of the Lord are over the righteous, and his ears are open unto their prayers. But the face of the Lord is against those that do evil." I want to ask us all a question this morning. And the question is, how do we plan to live in this new year? I would hope that we want to have good days, and I would hope that we love life. But in order to have good days and to truly love good life, I believe Peter gives us his prescription how this is done. The Bible is the world's greatest book on the subject of living. In the Bible, we can find the foundation of all true happiness. In the Bible, we have the source of everything that is really good for mankind. In the Bible, we have the storehouse of divine wisdom that reveals how we ought to treat our fellow man. It reveals how to be honest with ourselves and also with others. It teaches us how to be a good citizen, how to be a good companion, how to be good parents, how to be good children, how to be what God wants us to be. Again, Peter says, "For he that will love life and see good days, let him refrain his tongue from evil and his lips that they speak no gab. There's a certain way that we ought to talk. There's a certain way we ought to walk. There's a certain way that we ought to live. We must live according to the righteousness of God. Peter says, if we do what God will teach us to do, then his eyes will be over us, and his ears will be open unto our prayers. But if we don't, he'll be against us. I don't believe none of us this morning want God to be against us this year. We don't want God to keep us. We want God to love us. We want God to provide for us. And ultimately, we want God to save us. There are some things that I want to leave with us this morning and perhaps next week also. Some good advice that I want to share with all of us that would help us, I believe, to be what God would have for us to be. Sometimes people will say, you can't tell me how to live my life. Well, we really can't tell you how to live it, but we can certainly share some things that would be good advice on how we should live our lives. It's up to each one of us to heed the advice that God's Word gives us so that we will truly love life and we will truly see good days. That God's ears will be open to our prayers and his eyes be upon us. At least three things I want to share this morning that I would hope that all of us would incorporate in our lives as we live this new year. But again, the question is, how do you plan to live the new year? I would hope this morning that all of us would plan to live life after the Spirit and not after the flesh. Why is that so important? Because the Bible teaches us that if we live our lives after the flesh, that we cannot please God. Do you think God's eyes will be over us and his ears will be open unto our prayers if we do not please him? If we live our lives according to the flesh and not to the Spirit, we are not living a life of righteousness. Peter says the eyes of the Lord are over the who? Righteous. And his ears are open unto their prayers. We should live life then after the Spirit and not after the flesh. Why is that so important? As we look in the Bible in Romans chapter 8, verses 1 and a few verses following, we find that the Lord says some things to us through the inspired Apostle Paul. And he says this. He says, there is therefore now no condemnation to them that are where? In Christ, who walk not after the what?
Flesh.
But after the Spirit. I want to ask us this morning again that we all want to ask ourselves, am I walking after the flesh or am I walking after the Spirit? Somebody might say, well, what do you mean when you talk about walking after the flesh? Walking after the flesh simply means that we walk as we desire to walk and not like God wants us to walk. Again, somebody said, well, you can't tell me how to live my life. This is my life. I can do anything I want to. If you have that attitude this morning, you're walking after the flesh. We just cannot do what we want to do and please God.
Amen.
We'll never have good days, truly good days. Or we may enjoy ourselves to some degree, but it will not truly be a good day unless we're doing what God tells us to do. So the Bible says again, there is there now no condemnation to them that are in Christ, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. And it continues to say in the next verse, for the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus has made me free from the law of sin and death. And Paul continues to say, for that what the law could not do, in that it was weak through the flesh, God sent his own Son in the likeness of sinful flesh, and for sin, condemned sin in the flesh. And as he continues to write, he said that the righteousness of the law might be fulfilled in us who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. How will the righteousness be fulfilled? It will be fulfilled in us if we walk after the Spirit and not after the flesh. If we want God's eyes to be over us, if we want his ears to be open unto our prayers, then we must allow the righteousness of the law to be fulfilled in us. And the only way it would be fulfilled in us is that we walk after the flesh, after the Spirit, rather, and not after the flesh. The Bible continues to say in the next verse, for they that are after the flesh, they that do what they want to do, they that satisfy their own fleshly desires, for they that are after the flesh do mind the things of the flesh, but they that are after the Spirit, the things of the Spirit. And the next verse says this, for to be carnally minded is death, but to be spiritually minded is life and peace. How in the world can we think we truly have a good day if we're walking after flesh, when we learn that the Bible says to be carnally minded or fleshly minded is death? Who can say I'm having a really good day if you really realize that you are headed to eternal death when you're walking after the flesh? The Bible continues to say, because the carnal mind is enmity against God, or simply the carnal mind, the fleshly mind, is God's enemy. And you heard me say this 1,000 times, if you heard me say it once, that if you're an enemy of God, if I'm an enemy of God, I'll never win. We'll never win fighting against God. So the Bible says, because the carnal mind is enmity against God, for it is not subject to the law of God, neither indeed can be. And the next verse says what? So then they that are in the flesh cannot please God. How are you going to live your life this year? Are you going to live it walking after the flesh? Are you going to live it walking after the Spirit? I choose to strive to walk after the Spirit, because I understand that the Bible says, if I walk it after the flesh, I can't please God. And if I can't please God, then God is not going to reward me. You know, the Bible says in Hebrews chapter 11 and verse number 6, the Bible says, without faith, it's impossible to please God. All they that come into God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. So he will not reward me with eternal life if I walk after the flesh, because I'm not seeking him. He desires that I live my life after the Spirit. So then they that are in the flesh cannot please God. Do you want to please God? I know you want to please God.
Yes, sir.
Then it needs to be our aim, it needs to be our objective this year, to live our lives after the Spirit and not after the flesh. The Bible continues in that passage, and the next verse and says this. Verse number 9, the Bible says, but ye are not in the flesh, talking to these Roman Christians, but you are not in the flesh, but in the Spirit, if so be that the Spirit of God dwell in you. Now if any man have not the Spirit of Christ, he's none of his. And the next verse says this, and if Christ be in you, the body is dead because of sin, but the Spirit is life because of righteousness. And verse number 11 says this, but if the Spirit of him that raised up Jesus from the dead dwell in you, he that raised up Christ from the dead shall also quicken your mortal bodies by his Spirit that dwelleth in you. And the next verse says this, verse number 12 says, therefore, brethren, we are debtors not to the what? flesh. We are not debtors to the flesh. The flesh want to make us think that. The flesh says, satisfy me. The flesh says, gratify me. The flesh says, please me. But we're not debtors to the flesh. Not to live after the flesh. And the next verse says what? Verse 13, for if you live after the flesh, ye shall what? Die. And he's not talking about physical death here. We're all going to die physically. He's talking about spiritual death, eternal separation from our God. Nobody wants to be eternally separated from our God. For if you live after the flesh, you shall die. But if you live through the Spirit, do mortify or put to death the deeds of the body, you shall live. How many of us want to live this morning? All of us don't want to live, don't we? What does it take for us to live? We got to mortify, put to death the deeds of the body or the deeds of the flesh so that we'll live. And the next verse says this. Verse number 14 says, for as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. Are you led by the Spirit of God this morning? Are you led by the flesh? There's a battle going on. The flesh is waging its battle. And the Spirit is waging its battle. Which one is going to win? I hope the Spirit will win in our lives. For if you are led by the Spirit, but the question is, how are we led by the Spirit of God? Do we have some funny feeling inside of us that tells us that we're doing God's will? No, ma'am, and no, sir. The Word is what gives us the direction in which we're to live. Listen to what Jesus says in John chapter 6 over there. Very quickly, John chapter 6 and verse number 63. Listen to what Jesus said. Jesus said, it is the Spirit that quickeneth. The flesh profiteth. That's why we ought not walk after the flesh, brothers and sisters. Because the flesh profiteth nothing. The flesh doesn't have anything to give us. The flesh profiteth nothing but the words that I speak unto you. Jesus is saying, now, the words that I speak unto you, they are spirit and they are life. So how are we led by the Spirit? We're led by the words of Christ, by the words of God, by the words of the Lord. When we obey the words of the Lord, then we become righteous people, and God's eyes will be over us. Amen. His ears will be open unto our prayers. Amen. But if we refuse to be led by the Spirit, to obey the teachings of Jesus Christ, then his face will be against us. Amen. We'll be God's enemy, and again, we'll never win. Might as well give up right now. Might as well say, I give, because you'll never win. Amen. Never win against God. So then I would say to us this morning that we should determine to live our lives this year after the Spirit. Amen. And not after the flesh. That's why it's so important. And this point was stressed in the Bible school this morning by Brother James and others. That's why it's so important for us to become serious students of the Word of God. So that we'll know when we are living by the Spirit and not by the flesh. We can't go again on our feelings, on our opinions, on our ideas, on what somebody else says. We need to know whether we are walking by the Spirit or not. Because you see, as the Bible says, there are many false prophets out there. And they will deceive you. And if you just listen to them, they will deceive you and think that you will be living by the Spirit and all at the same time you're walking by the flesh. Amen. So we need to be serious students of God's Word. We need to know, how you said, James, we need to know what we believe and believe what we know. Talking about believing the right thing and knowing the right thing, and the only way to know that is to go to God's Word and make sure that we are living and walking by the Spirit or by the teaching of Christ Jesus' Word. Rather than going by our feelings. After all, when we stand before God in the judgment, we're not going to be judged on the basis of how we felt. We're going to be judged on what Jesus has said to us. John chapter 12 and verse 48, he says, he that rejected me and receiving not my word, as one that judges him for the words that I have spoken unto you, the same will judge you in the last day. So he calls upon us then to walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. And as long as we do that, we'll not be condemned. Let us make it our determination then to live after the flesh, after the Spirit, thank you, after the Spirit, and not after the flesh. How do you plan to live your life in this new year? Another suggestion I give to us this morning, let us live for ourselves. I want you to understand what I'm saying here. Live for ourselves, but not live selfishly. What am I saying when I say live for yourself? I'm saying to us this morning again, as I piggyback on what I've just said, as we study God's word, as we determine what God's will is, make decisions for ourselves based on God's word and stop listening to other folks. Because other folks will lead us wrong. Listen to God's word. Live for yourself. Realize that you as an individual, I as an individual, we are responsible to God for ourselves. That's why we got to know what God's word says, so that we can make the best decision for ourselves. You know what they said, what Peter said on the day of Pentecost? In Acts chapter 2 and verse 40. Let's listen to what Peter had to say. Listen to what he said. He says, and with many other words, this is after he had told them to repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, for the remission of sin. And then he gets down to verse 40, he says, and with many other words, did he testify and exhort them, saying, do what? Save yourselves from this untoward generation. You know what he was saying in that? Is that in this untoward generation, this evil generation that you're living in, there are some folks there, they're not going to obey the Lord. They're going to try to persuade you not to obey the Lord, but you save yourself. You make a decision for yourself. You be like Joshua. You know what Joshua said? As for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. I want you to serve the Lord. But if it seems evil for you to serve the Lord, then you choose you this day whom you serve. But as for me, I'm going to do what's best for me. I want to encourage us all this morning to do what's best for us, to obey the Lord and stop listening to what our friends say, what our relatives say, what our neighbors say. Why do you have to go to church all the time? Why do you have to do so right all the time? Can't you just have a little bit of fun? Make a decision for yourself. Save yourself from this untoward generation. Yes, indeed, Paul said to the church at Philippi, work out your own soul salvation. After all, when it's all said and done, it's an individual thing anyway. Work out your own soul salvation with fear and trembling. Yes, indeed, brothers and sisters, we need to live for ourselves. Make the decision that's good for ourselves. Yes, we have the primary responsibility for our own soul, but at the same time, we have responsibility for others' souls, for others' needs, for others' welfare. And that's what I mean when I say live for yourself, but don't live selfishly. In other words, don't think that you are an idol. Don't think that you're here just for yourself. We're here to serve mankind. So we got to get out of ourselves to serve mankind. Yes, they have needs. They have souls. And they have other things that they need our assistance with and need our attention with. We are to bear one another's infirmities. You know what the Bible says in Luke chapter, and all of us no doubt, I'm sure, know this story. Luke chapter 10, verses 25 through 37. We won't go through it all, but just to briefly sum it up, you know that this man fell among thieves. And here three men came down, one a priest, one a Levite, and another a Samaritan. The Bible says the Samaritan was the one that ministered to the man. All the others seemed to have been living selfishly. They didn't have the time or whatever it was. They decided that they didn't need to attend to this man's need. But the Samaritan took time. Brothers and sisters, it takes time in this life to serve our Lord. Sometimes we got to go out of our way to serve our Lord. Sometimes it's going to be inconvenient for us to serve our Lord. But you got to live not selfishly. Bear the infirmities of the weak, the Bible says. Romans chapter 15. Run there very quickly, if you will. Romans chapter 15. Listen to what the Bible says. The Bible says, we then that are strong ought to bear the infirmities of the weak and not live selfishly. Not please ourselves. Well, I don't care anything about that person that got those infirmities or that weak one over there. I'm concerned about myself. Yeah, we're concerned about ourselves, but we must also bear the infirmities of the weak and not please ourselves. And he tells us the reason why we ought to live like that. The next verse says what? Verse number 2, he says, let every one of us please his neighbor for his own, for his good, to edification. And verse number 3 says what? For even who? Christ. Please not himself. Oh, do you not know if Christ had pleased himself, we'd still be lost? You know how he prayed in the garden, if it be possible, let this cup pass from me. But then he said, nevertheless, not as what I want, but your will be done. So he said, I'm not going to really please myself. I really wish there was another way. But I'm thinking about somebody else. So whatever your will is, Father, let it be done. So the Bible says, so even Christ pleased not himself, but as it is written, the reproaches of them that reproach thee fell on me. Christ didn't live for himself and himself alone, but he was concerned about others. We as children of God must not live for ourselves and ourselves alone. We must be concerned about others. Philippians chapter 2 and verse number 4, Paul said this to the church at Philippi. He said over there, look not every man on his own things, but every man also on the things of others. You see, we live in an others world. So many folks think we live in a man world. But we live in an others world. Christians got to be concerned about others because Christ was concerned about others. So how are we going to live? Live for ourselves, yes, but don't live selfishly. I tell you about a man who really lived selfishly. You remember the rich man in Luke 16? You remember how he lived? The Bible says he lived sumptuously. He was arrayed in purple and lived sumptuously every day. But then there was the poor beggar, Lazarus, who laid at his gate desiring the crumbs that would fall from his table. And beside that, the Bible says the dogs came and licked his sores. Seemed like the dogs cared more about the man than the rich man did. Oh, it's a shame, brothers and sisters, when dogs care about folks more than we do. We need to be people that care about individuals. But the Bible says, as the story goes on, says they both died. But in hell, the Bible says, the rich man lifted up his eyes. And Lazarus was comforted in Abraham's bosom. And he was tormented in those flames. And he asked for water, but no water would be given. But it was also told him that there was a great gulf fixed between you can't, those that are over there can't come here, those that are over here can't go back. And then you know the last thing he says? He said, well, in so many words, since I can't get out of this, I got some brothers back home. Send somebody there and tell them. He was concerned about other folks' souls then, but it was too late. I want to say to his brothers and sisters, don't wait until we're in our grave to be concerned about other folks' souls. That's too late then. We need to be concerned about their souls while we live so that we can share with them and encourage others to share with them. What am I saying? Live for yourself, but don't live selfishly. Then lastly, this morning, as I talk about how we're going to live our lives in 2010, we should always live as we are, as in God's presence at all times. Because indeed we are. We are in the presence of God every time, or all the time, I should say. Every day, every second, every hour, we're in God's presence. Psalm 139 bears it out. There is no escaping of his presence, that psalm teaches us. Nowhere you can run, nowhere you can hide. We're in God's presence at all times. The Bible says in verse number 7, whither or where shall I go from thy spirit? Or whither or where shall I flee from thy presence? And then he says this. In the next verse, he says, if I ascend, if I go up into heaven, thou art there. If I make my bed in hell, behold, thou art there. And the next verse says what? If I take the wings of the morning and fly to the uttermost parts of the sea, even there, thy right hand shall hold me. Nowhere we can go that we can get out of God's presence. Somebody said it like this. He's so high, we can't go over him. So wide, can't go around him. So low, can't go on him. Oh yes, brothers and sisters, we can't get out of God's presence. That's why we need to live as though we are in his presence at all times. That's why there's no room for laying your religion down. No. If you practice in religion, because religion is something you practice. Right. If you're practicing it, you better practice it at all times, because God is watching and seeing, amen, hearing everything you do and everything, amen, you say. Yes, indeed. Bible says in Proverbs 15:3 that the eyes of the Lord, they are in every place, beholding the good and the evil. Yes, indeed. He sees everything that we do. And not only that, but he heals everything that we say. Go back to Psalm 139 very quickly, if you will, and start at verse number 1. Listen to what he has to say up there. Go back up to verse number 1. I hope you got that program in there. The Bible says what? If it's not in there, then let's turn the Bible here and let's read it. Psalm 139 and verse number 1. Listen to what he said. He says, O Lord, thou hast searched me and known me. Thou knowest my down sitting and my uprising. Thou understandest my thought afar off. Thou compassest my path and my lying down, and art acquainted with all my ways, for there is not a word in my tongue, but lo, O Lord, thou knowest it altogether.
Right.
So what is the psalmist saying? The psalmist is saying that God hears everything we say, sees everywhere we go, and knows everything we think. So even our thoughts can condemn us. So we need to even try to think the right thing, because we're in God's presence all together, all the time. Yes, indeed, brothers and sisters, we should live as though we're in God's presence at all times, for indeed, we are. Yes, God knows everything, and God sees everything. The song says, there is an all-seeing eye watching you. Remember that at all times, that no matter where we go this year, the remainder of our lives, God is there. We can't hide from God. You can hide from me. I can hide from you. But we can't hide from God. You can deceive me, and I can deceive you. But we can't deceive God, because God will not be mocked. Whatsoever a man soweth, the Bible says, that shall he also reap. Yes, I would say to us this morning then, if we truly love life, and if we truly want to see good days, then make sure then that we walk after the Spirit and not after the flesh. Make sure that we live for ourselves, yes, but not selfishly. Make sure we live as though we're in God's presence at all times. Yes, indeed, brothers and sisters. Peter says, the eyes of the Lord, they are over the righteous, and his ears are open unto their prayer. But the face of the Lord is against those that do evil. So I want all of us this morning then, as we live our lives, every time we do evil, or every time we think evil, realize that we're fighting a losing battle. Realize that we can't not win. I don't care
the same body, Ephesians 3:6. Because Jesus is the Savior of the body, Ephesians 5 and verse 23. Oh yeah, if I get him in one, yet but one body. Question is 12 and verse 20. There's only one church that you can win in. Only one church you can be saved in. It's the church of Christ. Why not come to the Lord this morning?